Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, I felt this. Listen, I'm just not plugged into the buzz on things. I just need to admit that. Like, I think there are a lot of people in the media who do a really good job of engaging with the rest of the media. And it's just never, like, it just doesn't, it's not part of what matters to me about this thing. I'm not trying to high road anybody here. But, like I think when it comes to buzz, I think Lima is fantastic at, like, assessing where the buzz is on something, right? Especially in town here. I think you are really good. I think Kenny is really good at it. I'm never really good at it. So, like, last night, I felt like with the LeBron thing, there was a lack of buzz leading up to LeBron, not in the arena, but, like, I don't know, a little bit.
Like where? Like on the radio?
Yeah, I just didn't feel like, I felt like it was a bigger deal for the media covering it than maybe the NBA at large. Or, sorry, NBA Twitter at large or NBA Facebook, whatever the hell you want to say it. I kind of feel the same way about the Super Bowl. Like, and I don't want to say there's no buzz for the Super Bowl, because again, I'm not plugged in on that level. But like, as you watch this, and I've heard Ken and Anthony talk about the likability of these two teams, I think it's actually a possibility that the fact that both of these teams are teams to like, or that have immense likability to them, I think it actually might hurt the Super Bowl, because I think the only thing that drives people more than this is my favorite team is I want these people to fail.
Really? You're such a cynic, man.
I don't look at that as a bad thing. I think sports hate is completely logical. No, like the idea we'd only sports love, that's homerism. That's what I'm cynical about, is blatant homerism.
So what do you think about last night? Like, tell me what you're thinking about why you feel like there wasn't buzz.
It just didn't feel... I continue to go back to the Frank Isola line that he said to us yesterday. Fans just don't care about this record. And I think a lot of that is specific to that record. I think accumulation records are really hard to put in perspective unless they've previously been... Like, you know, 40 years ago, nobody really gave a damn about the passing, you know, who had the most passing yards in NFL history. It was like, oh, okay, cool.
By the way, like, Tom Brady has it now, right? See?
No, that's a good point.
right?
But see, but like that's so again, it's less that, oh, they don't care about LeBron or they don't care about the NBA, and it's more like, well, maybe that record just doesn't drive, maybe it just doesn't drive interest. And for a different reason, I kind of feel that way about the Super Bowl. Like, I'm so excited to watch this because I can relax. I don't have to sports hate in the Super Bowl. I can just root. Like, I will be happy whether the Chiefs or Eagles win. I will. That almost never happens. I sports hate rooted against the Patriots. I have sports hate rooted against, I kind of did against Eli because I was so over the praise Eli got, even though I really loved Tom Coughlin. I've sports hate rooted against the Ravens, the Steelers. This year, I can't find it in me to sports hate root against either one of these teams. And so maybe it's that, or maybe it was just kind of a low-key weekend in the NFL, which kind of like, I think the extra week off kind of slows. I think it kind of slows the momentum of excitement for the Super Bowl. So maybe it's that. But, like, I'm excited for the Super Bowl. I'm excited for the Super Bowl no matter who plays. I don't get a great sense that people really understand. This could go down. Like, from a matchup perspective, from an actual football perspective, it could be one of the best Super Bowls we ever see.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Like, very rarely do we ever say both teams have elite defenses and elite quarterbacks. Right? It's always... Like, so Mahomes and Brady, that's two elite quarterbacks. That defense for Kansas City was not elite. It was really good. It wasn't one of the three best defenses in the NFL, despite having Honey Badger and Chris Jones and really good players.
Right.
This Philadelphia defense might be the best defense in the NFL since, like, the...
The 85 Bears.
I was thinking the Ravens.
The 2000 Ravens.
I don't think we're... I don't think we've really wrapped our... Maybe it's because it's an NFC team. This is an all-timer.
We don't really watch the Eagles play a ton.
Yeah.
Now, we watch them play in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I think maybe a lot of people are going to sit down and really just see how great they are.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, same thing for Jalen. I don't think people really understand. And is he playing with a lot of talent? Yes. Right? Does he have a head coach, and is this coaching staff geared in to bringing out the best of him?
Yeah, I think they are, Nick.
He's fantastic.
He is fantastic. I just don't know if his first trip to the Super Bowl, he's going to be able to match up with a coach who's been there multiple times and a quarterback who's already won one and been to a couple other.
That's fair. But again, that's the intrigue in this game to me. I don't even think the Super Bowl, what is it? What do they call it now? It used to be... the media day, but now it's opening night. Oh, my God. Talk about another annoying branding thing. Hey, can we get $5 more out of this? Well, let's call it opening night. It's no longer media day. Oh, my God. Yeah, I might be
somebody
a little cynical.
Call Affleck.
By the way, I'm actually in a great mood today. I know we're just talking.
You seem like really salty.
We're talking about things that I'm just cynical about. I'm not actually in a cynical mood whatsoever. But, like... Yeah, I'm so excited about this. And I look around and everybody's like, Juju Smith-Schuster said some dumb stuff.
Juju.
Who's going to win the game?
Do you think that you're going to try a Philly cheesesteak?
Or maybe it's just too early in the week to have buzz about the Super Bowl. I don't know.
It's Wednesday.
It's a hump day.
We're getting over that hump.
We are. And it brought me into the idea of, who is, you know what, let's play. All right, so Ja Morant earlier this week said, after the Dylan Brooks thing, Ja said, oh, we're the most hated team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Talking about the Grizzlies. And honestly, he's right, by the way. Right? The Warriors aren't good enough to be hated right now. The Nets just got broke up. And Kyrie's the reason why I think the Nets were hated. This Grizzlies team is the closest thing we've had to the Bad Boy Pistons. With the way they play, with the physicality, the chippiness, the dirtiness, some people might say. Dylan Brooks, obviously, being a guy that everybody knows, plays dirty. Or plays physical, however you want to say it. And it got me thinking about in the NFL, with Tom Brady retiring and with Tom Brady leaving New England a couple years ago, who is like, who's the villain? Who's the, because I can tell you in baseball right now, it's the Dodgers. The Dodgers or the Astros?
I was going to say the Astros.
That's maybe the Astros are the better one. But like, those are two teams, because the Dodgers' success and the Astros cheating, the amount of bleep the Astros that I see on like a random Tuesday when they're in town.
Right.
I never see that about the White Sox or the Royals or the Twins, who are in the Guardians division. In the NFL, who's the, what, who or what are the teams that you watch to hate or that you ignore because you hate?
I can't name a team.
I'll tell you why you can't.
Because there isn't?
No, because I think it's the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
Yes. I think,
so I'm just living in my bias right here.
Well, yeah. No, I think we all are. But I think every time we've had somebody on to talk about Deshaun Watson, I think the opposite. Because I don't think it's that. Like, I don't think in Detroit they knew that the Bad Boys were hated until a couple years into that run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, like, you look at the real villains, like, in New England, I don't think they ever thought their team was the villain. But I think specific to, because it's not just about trading for Deshaun and what he was accused of doing and suspended for. It's actually about, like, I think people in the league office hate the Cleveland Browns right now because of the contract. And every quarterback,
I think you're onto something there.
And every quarterback that's trying to get paid this offseason is pointing to the Deshaun contract. The NFL, since that deal was handed out, the NFL and all their merry men and all their PR machine that's behind them have done everything they could to point out that Deshaun Watson's contract is the anomaly.
And well, here, it kind of is.
It is. It is, by the way, it's a totally valid point. Here's the third leg of why I think the Browns are the only villain, or the biggest villain in the NFL right now. The only thing people hate more than repeated success at the highest level, the only thing, is when teams consistently don't reach expectations. In the same way that we're frustrated and maybe didn't like the Browns, we love the Browns, but maybe didn't like specific Browns teams, where all the drama and lack of success.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's just a Cleveland thing. I think there have been a lot of people who've spent off seasons after, for the last 5 years, the Browns have been hyped. But when they drafted Baker, hyped. Freddie Kitchens, he didn't just get hype in Cleveland, guys. Dudes on Good Morning Football loved Freddie Kitchens. One time in 5 years,
Pittsburgh
they've lived
started up. It.
Pittsburgh started it.
Man, that, he had some gall, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
did.
To the movie theater?
Yeah. In hindsight, not a great look, Freddie. There were a lot of not a good look Freddie had, but that's neither here nor there. But no, I mean, I think the Browns have either met or surpassed expectations after being one of the most hyped teams over the last 5 years. They've done it once. So we don't see it because we love the Cleveland Browns, but we even admitted this year, I don't know. I love the Cleveland Browns, right? I don't know. I love this team, right?
Yeah, it's a tough team to root for.
So when you say that,
there are certain players that are really easy to root for, but like the team overall, yeah. I mean, Nick Chubb's a great reason to root for the Cleveland Browns, but I mean, a lot of people have opinions on Deshaun Watson. A lot of people have opinions on Jimmy Haslam.
Some people have opinions on Miles.
Yeah.
Going all the way back. I think NFL people have an opinion on Miles going all the way back to the draft when he talked about loving dinosaurs and classic muscle cars.
I think that's accurate.
A little bit of NBA. It's not really news, but we got the trade deadline coming up in just over 24 hours. We're still waiting to see if the Cavs make a move. Well, Tim McMahon of ESPN saying that a reported deal for Russell Westbrook for Mike Conley, so that's a Lakers-Jazz trade, is close to being done. The expectation is that will be. Anybody who saw Russ after LeBron broke his record. I would imagine that makes a lot of sense. Russ did not look like he wanted to be on the court with LeBron last night.
I got to say this too. Like, I was watching with some friends last night, and we kept making the comment to each other, like, if you're on the court with LeBron right now, and you know he needs like 4 more points, why are guys coming down the court who I've never heard of taking jump shots?
Yeah.
Why are we not forcing the ball to LeBron every possession? By the way, you're down 12 points in a game that really no one cares about. No one cares that the Lakers win that game. No one's going to remember the Lakers losing to the Thunder by 3 points. Like, just get the record for LeBron.
And you know what's funny about that is there were a couple plays that people were wondering, because Russ, obviously.
Oh, I thought he was ball hogging just to try and, like,
yeah,
just to kind of be a D.
Well, and there's a reason. LeBron came out moments after Kyrie was traded.
Oh, yeah, and was like, yeah, we wanted him.
Yeah, and not just that, but like, well, now I'm back to the team that we've got, and I'm okay with
that.
Yeah,
I guess I'll have to settle with the team we have.
Like, if you're Russ, listen, Russ is a lot of things. Russ is a prideful dude, man. And by the way.
I think Russell Wilson is one of the hardest working guys. Like,
and one of the best dudes
up
in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a good dude. Like, I've seen a lot of stuff behind the scenes of what he does. Like, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's like lacking some of his skills he once had, his superpowers, if you will, that he had when he was in OKC. But I still think that, like, you don't disrespect a guy like that.
Yeah. Yeah. This was one of the moments where LeBron and his hold on the media and his, I don't want to say need, but his want to have a commentary out there, I think hurt him. And man, it just didn't look like Russell Westbrook wanted to be on the court in any way. So you and I were just talking about the Super Bowl and the likability of the Super Bowl. And, you know, I got into whether there was a great villain in the NFL. And maybe it's premature to say that the Browns are, because this year they were underperforming. They went 7-10. But I do think, whether it's the contract, whether it's what Deshaun is accused of, I actually think there are Baker Bros in the NFL, not just in Cleveland. Whatever it is, there was a time where Cleveland was a team that, oh man, I want this for the fans. That's all we heard. Oh, I want this for the fans. I want the Browns to be good for the fans. I don't hear that as much anymore. And I think if in a year's time the Browns are in the Super Bowl, I think they'll be the villain. I think what happened in the last 12 months, and it's not the last 12 months, the Baker stuff and OBJ stuff has impacted the way people view the organization. I think it's going to take a couple years to move away from the PR stuff that's happened in the last 24 months, I think. 18 months. I don't know. Time's a flat circle.
Time is a flat circle.
Do you agree, like, if in a year's time, the Browns are in the Super Bowl, do you think they'll be the team everybody roots for, or do you think they'll be potentially a villain?
I think that you're right about the villain part of it. I think that having Deshaun Watson here has certainly made the Browns look like a team that's really desperate, and they went out on a limb for a guy that, you know, listen, other teams were interested in him, obviously, we know that, but the Browns gave this guy this huge contract, and if they get there, it's going to look like the Browns took a shortcut.
Yeah. Which,
and people are going to be like, well, you again, this is what people are going to say. This is not necessarily my opinions, but people are going to say, you know, the Browns took a shortcut and went after a guy with a checkered past, and now they're in the Super Bowl, and they don't want to see the Browns have the success that they could have or they might have.
They'll say they sold their souls for a championship. I honestly think, and it depends on when it happens. 3 years from now, I don't know. Right? Like, if you look at, and I use this, I don't want to, you know, I know this is a very touchy subject, but if you look at Kobe, and if you look at what Kobe was accused of in Colorado, in something that was very, those next couple titles with Shaq were absolutely, that was a talking point. There were people who didn't like the Lakers because of that. Look to the titles with Powell 5 years later. It's not that that wasn't there. It just wasn't there to that level.
Right.
And so I use that example to say, I mean, even when Kobe, at the end of his career, when Kobe walked off the court, what, 81 points in his final game?
Final game. It was against the Utah Jazz, I believe.
Even that, was like a moment where it was like that wasn't a part of the commentary on Kobe. So I do think we'll get to a point where it's not a commentary on either the Browns with Jimmy Haslam's own quagmires or the decision to trade for Deshaun and give him that contract. I do think there will be a point where that isn't the case.
It was 60 points, by the way, Kobe's final game.
60 points.
81 was the Knicks game.
Oh, that's right. But I don't know. Is Cleveland prepared to be a villain?
We've been picked on long enough. I think it's okay.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with this town being a villain. But, man, we
for
just...
For so long, they've been the lovable loser.
Yeah. I mean, even, like, whether it was any of the Indians teams and their runs, or whether it was, even in 2020, even with his kind of outlandish as Baker is, or as an outside outsized personality that Baker is, even then, I think that team was more of a team that people rooted for because of Cleveland. I don't know we're going to get that lovable loser town, small market, mistake on the lake, we love them now, that kind of thing. I don't know you're going to get it if in the next 2 to 3 years you go to the Super Bowl.
If LeBron had not won the championship back in 16 for us in the Cavaliers, that if this were going to be the championship that breaks the streak, people would feel differently about it? I kind of think they would.
Yes. Yes. I actually think that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, we've had good teams. I mean, the Indians have had runs here to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nearly won it in the same year we won the finals. And, again, we've had good teams. We've got a good basketball team now.
Mm-hmm.
Football team's not the bottom of the pits.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, football is the
baseball
worst.
Team goes to the playoffs every year.
Yeah. Football's the worst organization in town.
By far.
And not, by the way, that's not you and me saying that. That's
just facts.
It's perception of things outside of
facts.
Here. Also facts. So like 216-578-0092. Would you care if the Browns went to the Super Bowl in a year and they were the team everybody rooted against? And I only ask because we've just never been there. As long as I've been alive, Cleveland has been the underdog town. Even if they've been the favorite in a series, even with LeBron, like the second LeBron won, that would have been if let's say the Warriors don't sign Kevin Durant. That next year, you would have been the hated because you had won the last one. So if you match up with the Warriors in 2017, and I think it would have gone from everybody rooting for Cleveland to get that title, and it would have swung back to either 50-50 or, okay, maybe it's the Warriors' turn now. But the Cavs got lucky. We got lucky in the sense that the second Kevin Durant signed in Golden State, the Warriors became the villain. 216-578-0092. Do you think Cleveland will be comfortable being the villain? Let's go ahead and get to you. You had something that you were thinking about.
Which part?
With the Browns going forward and looking at the Super Bowl and kind of viewing that as a model for the Browns going forward.
Well, Lima brought up this morning, and I don't know if Keith found that cut or not, but I heard it. I talked to him about it, and it was just kind of interesting because he makes the point that, hey, look at the last few teams that have won the Super Bowl. Or been there. I mean, the Chiefs, the Rams, now look at the Eagles. And, you know, a lot of these offenses that these teams run, the Browns are kind of trying to do the same thing now with Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to ask you, I mean, who's the running back on the Chiefs last year or this year? Or who was the running back on the Rams when they won the championship, you know, last year? I mean, it was like by committee.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the Eagles and Miles Sanders, who's a really good running back, and he's going to become a free agent. They're going to let him walk. And it's like, I'm not trying to say that the Browns need to trade Nick Chubb here, but does Nick Chubb really fit? Do we need a Nick Chubb? Do we need and take Nick Chubb's name out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it more along the lines of, do we need that bell cow type of back in what we're trying to run in this offense? Because is he going to get utilized the way that he should? I mean, this is not Jacoby Brissett, you know, getting in 12 personnel with Baker Mayfield or Jacoby or whatever and trying to just run the football down someone's throat and win a game 13-10 like the Baltimore Ravens do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is supposed to be a team that's high-flying, scoring 30-plus points a game with a quarterback that's going to make everything happen.
I want to get to that. We're going to play Lima's take on that, but real quick here, we got Lewis. Welcome to the show, Lewis. What you got for us?
I would love for us to be the bad boys. Now, I'm tired of us being choir boys. Now, I wish the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell's trying to get them to be, you know, dogs. I mean, we're on the cusp. I would just love it for us to start dogging teams and other teams hating us, man. I'm tired of Cleveland being choir boys. I can't take it anymore. Can't take it any longer. I want some sinful people. I'm tired of these choir boys. I would love it if we were bad boys. Bad boys. What you gonna do?
All right, Lewis. Great.
When they come for
great
you.
Stuff, buddy. I don't think this Cavs team is going to be a bad boys. They'd have to trade for a real son of a you know what. They'd have to trade for Dylan Brooks. If they traded for Dylan Brooks, which I don't think that's going to happen, because I don't think Memphis is trading him. But if you could trade for Dylan Brooks, that might make the Cavs a villain. I don't think the Guardians are ever going to be the villain.
Not as long as we've got Tito.
And not as long as the. Any small market team that makes it the World Series, and specifically if they're playing the Dodgers or the Braves or the Mets, all of big market teams, big budget teams, every Guardians team, and also this personality. No, it's the Browns. The Browns would be the villain because of the circumstance we find them in. Let's go with Dom. Welcome to the show, Dom.
What you got for us?
How you guys doing? I just want to say that I think the Browns would be phenomenal as the villain, you know, with Deshaun Watson and all this trade talks about Nick Chubb. I just want to say that I think we're going to surprise a lot of people this year. And, you know, they're saying you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Oh, well, you got a Batman quote in, which is really all I really needed in life. So, I don't know that I agree that Cleveland would love being a villain. Because, I submit... LeBron. LeBron was the villain in Miami. And I think LeBron went into that thinking, I'm okay being the villain. If I get a couple titles, who gives a damn? One of the biggest reasons LeBron came back, and there were many. It wasn't just one reason. One of the biggest reasons that it made sense for LeBron to come back outside of the basketball team was ready to win with him at that level was it could rewrite his narrative. It could rewrite LeBron and take him. The only thing he could do to unbecome the villain was win a title in Cleveland. Every other title would have been loved. I'm not saying like they would, oh, he would have been the biggest villain. Miami made him the biggest villain.
They did. And he kind of embraced that role.
Yeah.
In Miami. I mean, he went down there and kind of went to the dark side a little bit and won a couple of championships, went to two more. Probably should have had three, to be honest with you.
And also admitted when he came back, yeah, I didn't really like being the villain.
No, he likes to be liked. We all like to be liked. Who wants to be the villain?
The Penguin in Batman. Right? Joker.
The Joker.
Joker likes to be, yep. Neither of us are the Joker. If the Browns are in the Super Bowl in a year, would they be the villain? And are the Browns a new villain of the NFL? Apparently, we got a trade going on in the NBA.
Keith, you want to give us some insight?
Well, Shams, it was related to what Nick mentioned in the last segment about the Lakers, Jazz, Timberwolves. I'll give Nick a little chance to pull it up here, but it involves Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, so the Lakers, Jazz, and Timberwolves are in discussions on a three-team deal that would send D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers, Russell Westbrook, and draft comps such as a first-round pick to Utah, and Mike Conley Jr. to Minnesota. Time is a flat circle with LeBron impacting player movement in the NBA. If we remember, D'Angelo Russell was one of the first guys that, if I'm remembering correctly, was moved when LeBron got there. Because, right, they had D'Angelo Russell and Lonzo Ball, and they had too many ball-dominant guards. And then I think he went to Brooklyn. And then after Brooklyn, I think he went somewhere else. Like, and now he's back in L.A. The player movement in the NBA is a little stupid. Like, in a, like, not a bad way.
It's
I'm not
really
attacking
hard.
It.
If you're not watching, you know, the other teams in the league on a nightly basis, it's really tough to know, like, who's on what team.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you'll say a name And I'm like, oh, he's on the Mavericks, right? And like, no, he's in New York now.
I actually feel that way about – I've felt that way about Major League Baseball for a long time. Yeah. It's not just that you have 25 players versus five starters in the NBA or 22 starters in the NFL, but really quarterbacks, edge rushers, and cornerbacks and wide receivers count. But it's more that the player movement in baseball is stupid. The NBA, it's the same damn way. It's just shuffling – it's shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic for like 62% of the NBA. Adam, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Good, man.
I'm doing well. What you got?
Good. Well, you guys were talking about before the break if Cleveland is ready to be a villain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I speak for all fans, but I know I speak for a handful that if we have to be a villain to win, to get the wins, to get a championship, I think the fans would welcome it. As the Cleveland fans, I think the better question is, would other fans be ready? I mean, since I'm only 31, but since I've been around, I feel like the Browns have just been a joke. The Cavs have always been likable. The Guardians have always been likable. But, man, I'm tired of the Browns stinking. So if we had to be the bad guys to get a dub, I would love to see it. I think we kind of have been, maybe the last couple years, especially this last year with all the drama we had going on.
So
I think we would all welcome
being a villain. I think for younger fans, I don't think it'd be a problem. And I thank you for the call, Adam. Good stuff, buddy. I think he might have said it, that for the older fans, they might have a problem. I really don't like the way Cleveland is talked about outside of Cleveland. I don't like the disrespect of this. And when I say this town, it's not about Clevelanders. It is about the weather. It is about whether people want to go here. It is about whether we deserve three teams in town because of our market size. And it's always felt like, even when Cleveland is the team, because I think more often than not, Cleveland teams have been the team that everybody's like, ah, bless your heart. But the downside of that is, bless your heart sounds like it's a nice thing. Really, it's kind of like an infantilizing, look down your nose at people kind of thing. It really is, oh, you really shouldn't be here, but we're pulling for you, buddy. And I feel like that run.
It's like pity.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I don't like that for this town, which deserves its flowers on a lot of different levels. Like it really pisses me off when, and like anybody that still makes the river caught on fire.
Oh God!
I should be able to drop down to one knee.
Doug
and punch
Gottlieb,
that.
We've heard that joke 100 times.
I'm Doug Gottlieb, and literally nobody likes me. That'd be like us. Well, actually, no, because Doug's
the river caught on fire.
Doug's credit card scheme. That's actually more recent.
Hot dog.
Can you steal somebody's laptop? That was actually, I think, Cam Newton. Never mind. Point is,
let a man live beyond his mistakes. It happened 25 years ago.
Yes, it did. But the point is, that's less low hanging fruit than talking about a river that caught on fire, like long before that thing happened. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
I was taking a shot.
You took a shot.
I did.
You take a shot anytime you get a
chance. I really
want to
get
to
the Lima thing, but now we got 2 minutes. Like I don't wanna waste the Lima thing. Do you want to do it after 4:20?
No, we'll hit back on it.
Because I think in part talking about, you know, are you comfortable? Would you be comfortable with Cleveland being the sports villain if the Browns made the Super Bowl next year? I do think the Browns are asking right now, Dustin.
Yeah.
They are. I think every year in the NFL, you put your roster up against the rosters in the playoffs and say, okay, do we run similar things? If so, how's our build versus their build? Because I think the Browns' build, and this maybe falls on Andrew a little bit, and maybe falls on three GMs in 4 years, the Browns are built a little wonkily. And that actually, to me, is much more of a concern about their ability to win and contend every year than Deshaun is at this point for me.
Wonkily.
Wonkily. Not Willy Wonkily. I mean, it's wonky.
Can I have the definition?
Depends on what your definition of the word wonkily is. But do you agree? Like, it's not on face value. You need an elite edge rusher. You got that. On face value, you need a shutdown corner. You got that. On face value, you need a strong offensive line. I think they have that, although this year was a step back. Okay, what else do you need? You need a franchise quarterback. But it's how the pieces fit together that still feels like high-level math to me when I think about the Browns. Not being next year, but being a championship team.
What's so crazy about it is we look at the Buffalo Bills. That's a team that has everything, right? Wouldn't you say? Like all the things you pretty much talked about. I know Von Miller was hurt this year, but like they still have other really good players. Their defense is really talented. They've got a franchise quarterback. They've got a great secondary. They've got a great cornerstone corner. They've got good receivers. Like they've got good tight ends. They've got everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they still fall short, which tells you it's not always just the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more that goes into it. The coaching matters. Like the situation matters. Like who you play in the playoffs matter. Home field matters.
Yep.
It all matters.